Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before Moses had gone back to Egypt, he went up a mountain where he encountered a bush that was burning and yet not consumed. A voice spoke from the bush. Well, Moses asked, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, later in the scriptures, the Israelites would learn more about this God. In Psalm 95, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep under his care. The shepherd of Israel was always their God, the great I am. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And today Jesus says in our gospel text, I am the good shepherd. And by the end of our text, no one takes my life from me, because I lay down my life on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. Far better than any ordinary shepherd, Jesus has authority over life, death, and even resurrected life, the prerogatives of God alone. But the greatest good shepherd text of all comes from the prophet Ezekiel, his 34th chapter. And again, the Lord God is the shepherd. I will tend them in good pasture. I'll tend my flock and let them lie down. I will seek the lost, bring back the strays, bandage the injured, and strengthen the weak. This is what God was doing for his people, what the good shepherd is doing. Now, early in Ezekiel 34, consider what God does as a good shepherd, what the under-shepherds of his flock were doing. Those are supposed to be working for him, and what a contrast. Look, I am against the shepherds. I'll demand my flock from them and prevent them from shepherding my flock. I'll rescue my flock from their mouths so they will not be food for them. God is furious with the bad shepherds who don't care about the flock and are just feeding their mouths. Paycheck collectors. I mean, imagine God having to rescue his own flock from the very under-shepherd supposed to be protecting them. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says as shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who've been feeding themselves. Should the shepherds feed their flock? You eat the fat. Where are animals? But you do not tend the flock. You've not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured. Whether the hired hands or under shepherds, the world is full of people who really shouldn't be helping with God's flock. Maybe you've witnessed that for yourself in churches. If God finds this abhorrent, why would anyone stay in a church like that? Jesus witnessed this when he visited the Jerusalem temple. He found people out making money for themselves at the expense of others. How many church scandals do we hear about? The imposters taking advantage of God's people. How many mega churches have rules for their pastors, like never mentioning the reality of hell, since it won't sell well with the mega church crowd? How many under shepherds play fast and loose with the doctrines and teachings of Scripture? They'd rather be popular or have big churches than warn the flock of danger. See, these are shepherds who know what Scripture teaches and yet choose to live and practice otherwise. There are very real dangers in our world, and people need to be warned and, if possible, protected. With the prophet Zechariah, woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. Now, the readers of John's gospel had seen this too. John was writing after the Jewish revolt against Rome. The Roman legions encircled Jerusalem in 70 AD. The hired help Well, they saw the wolves coming and ran away. The Pharisaic leadership sneaked out of the city during the siege before it was too late and fled to Galilee, where they grabbed power after the war. The flock had been snatched and scattered while the leaders ran away. Jesus took a different approach. He told Peter after the resurrection, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Feed my sheep." He said it three times, "Feed my sheep." There will be no running away, Peter. A true under-shepherd is not a hired laborer who runs away or neglects his duties. He takes his cues from the good shepherd himself. With Jesus, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." I mean, isn't that the measure of whether a shepherd is good or not? How well does he know the sheep? A shepherd gets his hands dirty. He works with the sheep. He knows their habits. He knows how they behave and express themselves. He's never taken by surprise because he's already anticipated how they'll act in different situations. He loves being with them and is comfortable with them. He delights in caring for them. The Lord is invested in you and me in a way that no one else ever can be. You know, sometimes we look for love in all the wrong places. We look to parents. We look to a spouse. We look to a family member. The only love that will ever sustain us is the love of our shepherd. He loves us like no human being ever could. Now, if you visit southern Kenya or Tanzania and eastern Africa, you'll come across Maasai people. They're hard to miss, at least for me. Their average height is over 6 feet tall. You know, they're a tough group of nomads who live out in the wild. But what the Maasai are best known for is not their height, but their care for the animals. See, they own their own livestock and tell visitors that God has given them this responsibility. So they dedicate themselves to the care of their flocks. They hand-rear their lambs, kids, and calves in their family circles. They give the animals cute names and form bonds with them early on that endure to the end. I mean, they'll regularly go up their animals, caress them, and start talking to them. They hold the lambs in their arms and call the others who come running. They know that they'll be safe in that embrace. The Lord, our shepherd, knows us like that. He's known us from our mother's wombs. He's been watching us closely through the years. Well, the Maasai care for their animals even to the point of dying for them. A shepherd from the West by the name of Philip Keller went to go live with the Maasai and watch their love in action. Well, one day a 10-year-old boy was rushed to the house where Keller was staying. The boy single-handedly tackled a young lioness trying to kill one of the flock. He managed to spear the lion, but had gotten mauled. Well, the group rushed him to the nearest hospital, which was 27 miles away, but you ask yourself, why would a young boy do this? Because his sheep were his own. He loved them and would not spare his life for them. Like a young David who became Israel's greatest king, the boy defended the flock. He was a good shepherd, willing to give his life for the sheep. Real power is never to leave the sheep behind or to care about personal gain. It's to sacrifice yourself for the sake of the flock. The Jewish leadership didn't do that. Jesus did. As he said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He sacrifices life in place of them that they may live. This is what the Lord did for us. The good shepherd rescued us from the greatest danger of all, an eternity of punishment. Thousands of sheep had served as a sin offering for their shepherds over the years. But in Jesus, the good shepherd himself was sacrificed for the sheep. He won for us a certainty of eternal life. And so a true under-shepherd takes lessons from his master, the good shepherd. He's someone who will wash the feet of the lowly rather than seek individual honor or glory. Isn't that what Jesus did for the sheep a few chapters later? To be a leader, I'll bring them out from the peoples, gather them from the countries, and bring them their own soil. I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel. There will be one flock, one shepherd. And so the nations have come to know that intimate relationship with the good shepherd. We've come to experience that intimacy. The good shepherd knows us as well as he knows his own father, and as the father knows the son. We can't even begin to imagine the depths of that relationship. It's too profound even for us to imagine. And yet that's how well the son knows you. He knows your innermost thoughts. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. A lot of people battle depression. And a big part of that is a profound sense of being alone. See, we think we're dealing with the trials of this life without any help, as if there's no one out there who cares. You know, we think we don't measure up or aren't very significant in this world. I mean, who'd even miss us if we went away? And maybe you've fought depression in your life. But our gospel text assures you that you're never alone. There's someone who knows us better than we even know ourselves. And he's not giving us more than we can handle. And he's there at our side to pick us up when we stumble or fall. If he loved us enough to sacrifice his life for us, isn't he right there with us in our everyday trials? Sometimes we think we're unlovable. We feel worthless. Feeling the depression can be the sense of our sins and the evil in our lives. In Greek mythology, Hercules was once given what was supposed to be an impossible task. He was to clean the massive Aegean stables where thousands of horses had left their dung. Kind of like our sins. It'd become a mountain engulfing the place. Well, Hercules knew that even with his strength, he could never remove all the filth. So he went up into the hills and found a rushing mountain stream and diverted the waters from their course toward the stables. The water washed all the waste away. Now that's just a myth. But here's the truth. When Jesus gave his life for us, blood and water pour. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And even in that very last moment, he'll be holding us in his loving arms. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.